Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And then you have those guys, those little ones that are like,
yeah, that's me. They have like the gnome hats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like that little guy.
All right. No needlers. We're good.
No, we're good. We're great. You know why? Because we're live here on Stochastic and it's a full field event and it's PGA season. And that means it's a good time to be here. It's a good time to be Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We're ready to talk Sony Open. We've got the field. We've got the course. We got a lot of money up for grabs. We were just talking before the show, a lot of different tournaments. We do wish there were some different contests, but we still have plenty to break down. I'm Ben Reza. Eric Lindquist, of course, joins us. All right, the man himself going to talk about these courses, give his expertise on it. And we do get cut sweats. Come on now. I know you're excited about cut sweats.
Big time. Obviously, that's what makes PGA DFS so fun. And obviously, yes. I think the main reason that people are vehemently against LIV is that, well, you're making a check before you even show up. And in the beauty of golf is like you earn or you keep what you earn. And in order to make money, you have to make a cut. Otherwise, unless you have an appearance fee and you're one of the top golfers, in which case you're probably making the cut anyway, you just don't get money. You fly out. It is just bare bones what it is. But that's the same thing here. You need six of six to be able to go out and win in just about every GPP on a week like this. Sometimes you can do five of six in a 100-person small field event. But, I mean, this is the beauty of PGA DFS. It's officially back this week.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I do love that. I get, like, if I was a golfer, like, you know, I want a baseball contract. Like, yeah, but for the consumer, it's awesome to see guys grinding and sweat and knowing, like, you know what, if you don't have a successful week, you're not getting anything. And that really is cool. And the PGA Tour is built on that. And for DFS, it's awesome because it's two slates in one. You get that Friday sweat. And if you survive and if you're new to PGA DFS, you know, getting that six of six sets you up for at least a chance on the weekend. And that's what we're going to be after this week. So I see all the regulars in here, friends. You guys know the drill. Hit the like button. We're going to talk about all sorts of deals because we have deals going on from BetMGM to the Sims and all this good stuff. But let's talk about this course that we see, I don't know, it's every year, right? I mean, the course has been around forever. Mm-hmm. The Sony Open is a staple of the beginning of the season. And I kind of want to feel free to talk about last week as we incorporate, you know, we saw what we saw and we saw Kirk and Thigala and Spieth and a couple other guys battle. How different do you see these courses are both in Hawaii, but I think the similarities end there.
Yeah, the similarities end there. Obviously, very difficult to hit fairways here, whereas the easiest golf course to hit fairways on planet Earth is basically going out there to Kapalua to the Plantation course. So going to be a little bit more demanding tee to green in that capacity. We're not going to see as many birdies. I mean, it's still, I know it's wet. I know they're going to still have an opportunity to go out and make some birdies, but it's not going to be the way that it was last week where you're just never feeling safe ever because 61 and, you know, what is that, a 12 under 61 was in play from just about half of the field every single day. So this is going to be a fun one. Obviously, you get the full field and it's a golf course that we've seen a lot. I mean, going back to the N64 days for the real ones, it has been featured in video games since before they had golf video games, you would think. So very much looking forward to being back here. My mind always goes to that ridiculous three wood that Hideki hit in the playoff. It was beautiful stuff. It just kind of really kicks underway what I think is like, not the bread and butter of the season, but like having cuts matters so much in golf and it matters so much in PGA DFS, really adds to the sweat value.
It definitely does. There's no doubt about it. And a couple interesting things that I've seen with this course, I don't want to overstate it, but I think it's worth mentioning. It's pretty repeatable. If you play well here, you tend to play well here. Mm-hmm. If you've had success at Sony, you tend to have success at Sony. And I do think it helps if you played last week. Now, part of that, I think, is fool's gold. If you played last week traditionally, That means you won. And if you won, you're probably pretty damn good. Now, this year's a little different. There's a larger field at Century. So don't be overly fooled on that. But in general, I would love my golfer to have gotten 72 holes in Hawaii just last week.
Agreed. It's not a pre-requirement of everything that I'm doing this week as I'm just working through my lineups, but it definitely doesn't hurt to have having a couple rounds under your belt. 72, everybody gets the 72 over there at the Century. And then coming over here, yeah, I would like to see some course history from some of these guys, but that's not going to send me away from some of the dudes at the top. It's just good to have some of those reps under your belt. Makes you feel a little bit more secure as opposed to some of the unknown names and, you know, specifically unknown chalk that might exist, because it feels like the chalk is all gravitating towards, hey, this guy played last week. He played well to some extent last week. Let's click on Benny on and JT Poston to the moon.
Yeah. And I always think that that's a balancing act, because it's, of course, good and encouraging, but it's not overly indicative of much. Did Bads withdraw? Yeah, he did, from what I've seen on Twitter. So
yeah,
Aaron Baddeley,
it
just came through. Let's get to it. I'm ready. If you are, Chad, if you're ready, let's dive into the top tier of the board again. It may not have all of the big, you know, last week we saw a lot of players, and this is, I think, a little thinner. Your boy, and you were all over this last week. You talked about this with Mr. Aberg, and then we've got Ty Hatton, Fitzy. Yep. And Thigala, who was really, really good last week. Those are the four north of 10. We'll get to the second range of the top tier, but I want to drill down onto those four. What do you think of them price-wise, exposure-wise? How do you start? Let's kick this thing off.
So in days of yore, like years past of PGA DFS, Ludwig would come off of a week last week where he completely lays an egg. And, you know, we talked on this show where it's like Ludwig at 0% felt like the right way to go about last week. It's a birdie fest. Everybody, you know, again, relative to other guys in his range, I was like, do we really want to say Ludwig is the best player in the field? Now, we head this week to a golf course that's slightly more demanding, going to be a little bit different, but he's never really played out here. And I just have to repeat, I have far more certainty that Hatton, Fitzpatrick, and even to some extent, Thigala are like the dudes. Ludwig, we have all of a 6-month sample size existing for him, and at 10-5, in days of yore PGA DFS, you would see extremely low ownership, and that's just not the case this week. People are buying back in on the talent, on the certainty that they felt during the fall swing. And for me, I just have to be out on that yet again. So I'm going from that 10-5 number. I'm just, again, just a complete write-off for me this week, which on a golf course like this, I think could burn me a little bit more than last week, just because of how many birdies were available to the entire field. But I mean, come on, if I'm going to be getting Hatton at lower ownership, I have to do that 100 times out of 100, knowing what we know about their careers to this point.
And listen, you're not going to get a lot of pushback from me. We know it, anytime you're fading guys up top, it's always a little dangerous. That's just the talent that they bring. But I'm a big fan of Hatton. He played pretty well last week. I wanted to drill down, though. You've got a $100 difference between Hatton and Fitzy. Both of them came in 14th. Obviously, Fitzpatrick can roll it. He was up there for a little bit. Do you have them close this week, even, or do you think one is the preferred option?
So the guy I was kind of alluding to when I was bringing up, hey, they need to have course history here to some extent. And then I'm just like, oh, that doesn't seem to be the case, because ownership and is still a thing. Talent level is still a thing. And I just feel so comfortable with Tyrrell Hatton pretty much all the time. He's one of those guys who can just get it done in so many different ways. I mean, some weeks he's just really solid tee to green. He's always a pretty consistent putter. Around the green can fade from time to time, but like overall, you're just getting such certainty with him because, you know, he still moves it quite a bit. I know Fitzpatrick started to get that going, but considering neither of them have ever played this event and they're staying over there, I mean, I was on both of them last week. I feel more comfortable clicking on Hatton. I think this golf course might set up slightly better for him because he has more ways to go about skinning a cat, which, again, I hate that saying, but it is what it is. Fitzpatrick, I could maybe talk myself into some shares of him. I'm probably going to have some shares of him to some extent, but yet again, just like last week, I'm going to be far heavier on Hatton.
Got it. Yeah, I'm fine with either. I have no issues with Fitzy. I just like his game, and we've seen him.
So Ludwig, where are you on Ludwig? Because you're not getting the ownership discount. I just want to get kind of your sense of that one. Am I making a mistake this time around? Because it felt too good to be true to get 0% last week as one of the most popular players. But this week, do you think this ownership maintains?
I do to an extent. I'll say this, and I think you already kind of said this. I think it's easy to say this in hindsight because one already worked. I think it's much tougher, a tougher decision this week for me. I didn't like him last week. I really didn't, and you didn't either. I don't particularly like him this week. I have him behind Hatton and Fitzy, but I do think there's a harder discussion to be had, and we're going to talk about some of the sim tools, and I want to run my sims and see what we get with Aberg in particular. I may end up with some, you know, again, depending on how many lineups I play, I get how potent and intoxicating the talent is. I still, though, think that I would rather pair, like, I've been playing around with a Hatton Fitzy start. I don't think a lot of people are going to do that.
Here for
double click them. But I want to loop it into the third and fourth guy. I did not have Thigala last week. I didn't like the spot. Probably my biggest miss because he really played well. He had 31 birdies. The guy just can really do that. Do you go to him here or do we stick to maybe coming underweight on Sahith?
Yeah, that was obviously, I don't know if I'm going to call it a mistake. I just felt like, yeah, I think the mistake is that we know how bad he can be off the tee from time to time. I talked about that specifically having played with him where he has this crazy right miss that just showed up from time to time playing with him out in Southern California that was kind of jarring to me to a certain extent because, you know, he was the number one college player in the nation. You're playing a U.S. Open qualifier with him and U.S. amateur qualifier with him. And it was just like, where is that coming from? And it was just a strange phenomenon. Should have probably factored in that he's good at everything else to like an extreme extent, specifically a really good short game guy. So he goes from a really good course fit to, I don't think this one nearly fits him as well. He has played one time here, which is the only guy out of the entire 10K range who's showed up and actually been on this golf course in competition before. He made the cut, wasn't all that appealing, but like, I don't know, maybe there's some course history just from the fact that like, hey, I've been there. Now I know kind of how to go about attacking it. He's obviously somewhat informed there. Considering 31 birdies, it doesn't matter if you're playing your local Muni or not. Like, you're finding a way to get the ball in the hole. So maybe I should have more interest than I do. But right now, it looks like I'd just be at the field and moving on with my life. 10%, not that hard to get to.
Yeah, I feel similar. And I agree. I wasn't, of course, I had regret in the sense I'm like, man, I wish I had this guy. But it wasn't in hindsight that I look back and I say, oh, I should have got the Thigala. That was a big mistake. I really don't view it like that. So for me, to just round out the first part of the top here, and then we'll go to the second part of it, Hatton and Fitzy, and then Aberg and Thigala for me. And I think you see it similar.
Yep, see it exactly similar. I don't know how I get to Aberg here at this ownership. I just don't agree with it. I think Hatton and Fitzpatrick and probably Thigala all deserve to be more expensive. And if the field doesn't feel that way, I guess I just have to live to fight another day if he burns me.
Second part of this range, though, is the upper nines. Like, we've got real players. You know, Harmon, who was very expensive last week. We were interested about that. Corey Connors, who I like in a lot of different formats this week. You've got Cole and Henley and Kirk. Will Z is back. Talk to me about the nines. What caught your eye?
Eric Cole. I play this guy all the time. My namesake. How can you not? The guy is freaking good. I mean, it's not just the fact that, you know, he came out of nowhere last season, also rookie of the year, pretty wild to see. But T3, T2, T3, T14, that's his last four events here. He had a fourth at the Fortinet, too, and I left that off the board. I mean, just a ridiculous run of form for him. But we had kind of seen this at the tail end of last year, well, at the beginning of last year, all the way through the entire PGA Tour season. The guy can putt the lights out of it. 6.3, 7.9 strokes gained with the putter. He was abysmal around the green, and that is not something that Eric Cole is going to be here going forward. I would think he's a Florida guy. He grew up, down there in Arnold Palmer territory, you know, grew up playing with Sam Saunders. And so Bermuda is obviously his preferred service, obviously the thing he's the most comfortable with. But I would expect that to be positively regressing here. Tee to green losing 4.5. That is an outlier considering 11.5, 4, 12.4. Those were his previous three there. Third at the RSM, I guess, with just one stroke gain, tee to green. If he just is competent to some extent ball striking wise, I just feel so much better with his short game than just about anybody else on the PGA Tour, which is a wild thing to say out loud. Eric Cole, absolute buy. Currently my highest owned player.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Cole, man, I was certainly late to the party, but the guy is just doing things. And it seems like it's it's the classic. I always label it the whack-a-mole, where he's got the irons, he doesn't have the putter. He's got the putter, he doesn't have the iron. It's close though. If he syncs any of that up, watch out. I mean, the guy's already been close. So I absolutely get it. Corey Connors is going to be popular. He makes a lot of sense. He's got success at Sony. He played last week. He's a name that people know. And again, you know, he's at this event, never missed the cut. He was third in 2019, 12th in 2020, 11th in 22, 12th in 23. He's churning out good finishes. He's a ball striking machine. I like him a lot, but I have to ask you about specifically Will Z. I don't have a good idea of what to do with him. I think it's a difficult situation. Do you try to buy early or do you want to wait and say?
I have been playing flip-flop all week thinking about what I'm going to do with Will Z, because there's so many reports of him playing some decent golf in money games, and you're looking on Twitter and, hey, I feel great. And he's been healthy now for a little bit, just took his time to get back onto the PGA Tour. And, you know, hopefully we can see him ramp up some form here quick. I look around at the industry and I see so many varying ownerships. I mean, we've got him at 1.5%. Some places have him around 6-7%. I'm very curious where he ends up landing. I think this might be a small field play where he ends up being more popular. And then in large field, like, just nobody wants to get to the unknown of it. I think in large field, you want to embrace stuff like this, because Will Zalatoris, 9,300 in this field, this would be, if this were a major championship, you would feel like, okay, well, I would be playing quite a bit of him relative to, like, if you were 8,300 in a field like that. Like, that's basically what his tag is saying at 9,300 at this event amongst this field, because he'd be in that top three. If you've looked at the last 2 years of sample size pre-injury, he would be up there. He was competing with the best in the world, and the best in the world are not necessarily here. We have a lot of the top players in the world here with Hatton, Fitzpatrick, and Aberg maybe gets there, but I am completely going to embrace 1.5%. When it starts to get to 5-6%, though, I think I would start to be making a little bit of a mistake, just because it is very, very volatile, a little bit of an unknown. Might make him more of, like, who do you think he pairs with well in this field? Because, like, a lot of my lineups have Hatton and Cole, two guys I think are kind of Bermuda dudes to be getting to. What do you think of, like, Will Zalatoris with, you know, like a Brian Harman if it's playing more difficult?
Yeah, I could see that. So there's definitely elements to that. I think the main takeaway with Will Z, as you mentioned, it's balancing risk reward. I think there's a good chance he's not fully there just yet. If he was, and we knew that, I think he would be the best play on the slate. I mean, he would be the highest. He would be the most expensive golfer if he was fully healthy and ready to go. Will Z's proven that. I just don't think that we're there just yet. Now, if you're willing to take some early stabs, you can get the early rewards, and I'll be willing to do that in large fields. Not sure I'm going to stomach it on smaller fields, single entry, things like that, when you've got other names. But to round out the range, Decky is just flat nine, and I don't know if that's an underprice, an overprice. He was still eight under at Century, but that might as well be over par at that place. You know, he was almost dead last. What do you make of Decky and where his game is at?
Can't do it. Can't do it. He hasn't had a top 10 since the Players. Hasn't had a top 13 since the Players. Or a top 12. Like, what are we doing right now, Decky? Like, I don't quite understand. There's a lot of people who get flack for, hey, once you win a major, they kind of disappear. And Decky came around the next year. He won the Sony Open in 2022. So, like, obviously the course history is there with him. But that is the only top five. Well, he has a fifth at the Players, I guess, since the Players there. It has not been a good run of form for now almost two consecutive seasons for Hideki. And it's weird, because last year we would do shows and it's like, am I really not going to play Hideki? Because he can go out and just make a birdie fest and he'd be popular. And I feel like that ownership has dwindled and it's dwindled and it's dwindled. And if you buy in here, congratulations, you're probably going to win a lot of money if he plays well, but I can't do it because I prefer... I mean, is it wild to just say JT Poston is a better player than Hideki at this point?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, it is wild, but it also sounds accurate because Hideki, in name recognition, and I'm a huge Hideki guy, I'll do this. I'll prove it to you in the sense that, like most people, I really rely on, it's not the end all be all, but I rely on the betting markets. Hideki Matsuyama is 50-1 to win this tournament, and JT Poston is 30-1. I mean, he's just not in the same range. He seems overpriced. I want to see what the ownership looks like, but I'm a huge Hideki guy. I think you're drawing to blindly saying it's Hideki. That's the only thing that you can do, and that's a dangerous game. I did that with Ricky for like 4 years. And
hey, you got there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, except last week.
After he misses out on a U.S. Open, and that, there's got to be something there. He misses a U.S. Open, he goes back to work with Butch, and all of a sudden, he became Ricky again. I think sometimes you got to hit rock bottom to bounce back. I think that's kind of where we are with Hideki, because if you do the player A versus player B with any player in the range, in the 9K range, Hideki looks significantly worse. So I don't know how I could possibly go out and say, hey, you should go play him, other than his name's Hideki. He's won at this tournament. There you go.
I hear you. And again, I'm going to reference those betting lines. Like, that tells the story to me. They don't have Hideki. They're willing to lay 50-1. And again, you want to shop that. And actually, how about I tell you, it's perfect timing. Perfect timing. It's on the screen. You may have seen it. And you said, what the hell is that? BetMGM, there's always someone. Lofty said this on the last show I was on. There's always someone around NFL playoff season that says, we want to make a splash and we are willing to pay for it. We want to get new users to the site. We want new people playing on our sports book. And this year it is BetMGM. And how they're doing it, they're doing the bet and get. And what does that mean? It means if you sign up and you bet $5, they're giving you $158 in bonus bets. Why is it $158? Apparently it has something to do with Super Bowl 58 and you're getting $50, $50, $58. I think that's kind of dumb, to be honest, but I do like getting, 30X my money for doing nothing. Whether that bet wins or loses, it's right there for you. You bet $5, you get $158. So if you want some extra money to bet the playoffs or golf, college basketball like me, the link is in the description of the video. It's right there. You see it, $5 into $158. You got to be 21 plus. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. You mentioned Benny on the top of the show, and he played great last week. He's 8,700. He kicks off the mid-range. Siwoo, who's won this, Cam Davis, Denny McPutz, Harris English, Justin Rose, Jaeger, Hadwin. Good range. Think the winner could come from this range. Who stood out to you?
I mean, it's so funny that you're the one setting me up, because I want to set you up with Benny on. There's no way you didn't bet him this week, right?
No, I bet him, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that just felt as like a certainty.
More as like a, if I don't bet him and he happens to win, like, what is my life going forward? It's not good. So like, I did bet him, yes.
Yeah, so I told you that I did spark a tiny bit of a return, about a 0.01% return last week in PGA DFS, but Benny on, I had none. And then we talked through it and you got me on some Benny on. He played really, really nicely. And this is just one of those things too, where you go to Hawaii and it just feels like, whether it's Hideki, Benny on, like some of these Asian guys just really play well here on this course. Siwoo Kim, somebody that I'm in on this week at 8,600. I mean, this feels like a spot you can play a lot of these guys blindly. I'm saying this knowing full well that I just am not playing Hideki Matsuyama for form, but God, Benny on is good. And having at least some course history, he's shown up here all of a grand total of one time, putted pretty well during that week. He was 6 in strokes gained putting. That's good enough for me at 8,700 to be back in. I do prefer Siwoo. He has a much longer course history out here, and he is number one in strokes gained around the green amongst this field in those 22 rounds of golf. So Siwoo Kim, high. I like both of these guys a lot. I'm probably not comfortable just jamming a lot of the 8K range and not having something from 9,500 up. Like, yeah. I think Russell Henley, who we didn't even talk about, is live for me. Eric Cole, I'm obviously obsessed with, and Corey Connors is going to be popular, but I think for good reason. But my God, having a lot of Benny on and Siwoo Kim feels like the way to go for me this week.
I agree with that. I think we're both saying the same thing. I'm not going to start with those guys in my lineup. They're going to be my second or third man in, depending on how I structure. I think it's just giving up a little too much win equity, even in a field like this. But they make for nice plays there. I like Hadwin at the bottom of the range. I thought he played pretty well last week. I think this is pretty objectively a good course for him. I don't see any glaring issues of why he wouldn't play well here. He's a winner at Valspar. I see some comp there. Obviously, I think Valspar is a little more difficult. Where I'm struggling is like the Cam Davis, Denny McCarthy range. They're different types of players. Are any of them sticking out for you?
Not really sticking out for me. I feel like I'm kind of praying a little bit in the range. I have a little bit of Denny McCarthy if the slate started out. Cameron Davis is a guy that if you look in our PGA Top Golfers tool that is getting positive leverage. I want to get your take on Cameron Davis because obviously coming off of last week where, well, you know, there were some mistakes made. And I feel like Cameron Davis, if I had just, you know, hit eject on that ownership in addition to eject on Ludwig, I would be very rich right now. Instead, I am sitting here, you know, the same wealth as what I was the week before. So Cameron Davis, I don't know what to make of last week because it was all around the green, but that feels like the worst characteristic for him to be failing at. I would much rather have just seen him bad off the tee or bad approach. Well, he was that. But then the around the green game was so bad that I don't know what to make of it because in his last 10 tournaments coming into that, he gained nearly a stroke there. Didn't think that was going to be an issue and thought it was a good setup for him. Guess not after all.
It's always tricky with him because even in a bad showing, he came in 52nd in a small field. I had 23 birdies. His biggest problem, he had two doubles and two others on the card.
Oops.
So it's just like, you can't do that when you're messing around with cuts. But having said that, if he does that in the third round and not the second round, it's not as big of a deal, and his price is pretty reasonable. I also think, very important, we're going to talk about this later in the show, like that he's grading out in the tools pretty nicely as positive leverage. Mm-hmm. That is something that I really, of course, give a lot of weight to. So I will look to him. I have Siwoo and Benyon ahead of him, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I think I have Cam Davis ahead of McCarthy, and like I'm not sure what to do with Justin Rose type players either in the same range.
I agree. I think Cameron Davis might end up being, we haven't talked tee time stacks or something. You could maybe look at something to artificially just stack him with or make him more of like a bomber type. I mean, he's not crazy, crazy bomber, but you could probably put him with a couple of other guys, like maybe I don't even know who that would be here this week. It's not a long golf course. It's just a little bit over 7,000 yards, par 70, but like there's still going to be a lot of wedges. And you know, we talk about it being a little bit more narrow. There is OB lingering on a couple of these holes where you can't get way offline. I always think of like 9 with the fence on the left, the par 5, where you're going to make 3. There's also people who are going to hit it left into that fence. And if it goes OB, you're looking at a big number. That's happened with a couple of guys in recent years when you're watching the live coverage. But I want to buy back in on Cameron Davis. It's just that Siwoo and Benyon are just going to be in a larger allotment of my portfolio and probably not close.
Yeah, and I think that's where you're going to have to do some of that with this, because if you really spread yourself too thin in the mid-range, there's just too many golf. This is not 59 guys. There's 144 man field. You can't get over on all these guys. You're going to have to make stands. You're going to have to leave some golfers out. Last guy I want to ask you about is Keegan. He's shown up in these type of events before. He's someone else. He played last week. I think that's great. He did not play well. I don't think that that's that big of a deal. Kind of an atypical guy, but when he gets it rolling, figuratively and literally with that putter, I kind of like Keegan in this spot at flat 8.
I do too. So 113th in strokes gained putting over the course of his sample size at YLI. But 34 rounds of history out here, that's pretty considerable when you look at like Hadwin, who's played here all of 10, Jaeger 14, Rose 18. And Rose obviously has if you were to just say, hey, Rose is going to go out and stripe it and find ways to get the ball in the hole, like Rose at 8,200, I'm actually okay with. I kind of besmirched that idea a second ago, but I'm going to have a little bit of him. I feel like Keegan's the guy I want to full send, and then he'll probably full send, go full Keegan on us as a result. But like 34, that's a large sample size relative to some of the other guys that people are far more comfortable clicking on. I mean, Benyon, as much as I love him, he's only played here once. So I don't know. Keegan Bradley, I kind of like the shout out. We still are. Is it still allowed to bring up the Ryder Cup where he got snubbed for that? And is that something that we can still rely on in our model?
We can put that in. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be a year where Keegan wants to just shove it to everybody and get on the President's Cup team and just say, oh yeah, you got murdered over in Rome. Maybe having somebody who really wanted to be there and leaving him off wasn't the best idea. He's not part of the boys club, I suppose.
He played well enough to be on that team. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Second half of the mid-range, we crack into the sevens. We got Brendan Todd and Noren. Batia is here. Matt Kuchar, who's, we want to go right off course history, you know, again, maybe doesn't have it everywhere, but he seems to have it at Sony. Time and time again, a former winner. Svensson, a guy I like. Glover, Hoagie, List. Feel free to talk about the upper sevens.
Yeah, so starting with it, Matt Kuchar isn't the worst play in the entire world this week. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be there in some capacity. He's sub 10%. And I do think Batia, if you just see Kuchar and Batia next to each other, I'm an Akshay guy. Everybody knows I like Batia quite a bit. That said, he was going to be really, really good. Yet another one of those kids that I've gotten a chance. He worked with George Gankis out in Southern California, Thousand Oaks, California, and got to play a little bit with him. But he's a really nice kid. You know, I think he's actually Florida, but got married pretty young or engaged pretty young. Kind of just has the girl on the bag, I still believe. But 7,800 just seems like he's just so much more relaxed now. He's got so much talent. It's going to be a matter of time for him as well. But you put him next to Kuchar, something tells me people click on Batia more. And that kind of makes me want to buy in on Kuchar for this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kuchar is, I try to get I always say buckets. And there's a bunch of people on tour that I think can't do it everywhere. And how do they stay on tour? How do they stay reliable? Because the spots they can do it, they're still as good as they were. And to me, Kuchar is synonymous with that type of mentality. Like if you put him at, you know, but like Quail Hollow, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work anymore. But it can work here. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I am going to give a quick shout out, though, to Svensson. I liked him a little bit last week, and he was uneventfully 33rd. But he was 5th at RSM during the swing season. He top 10 at Wyndham. There's a lot of comps there to me that really grayed out well. And he was 7th at the Sony Open in 2022. Ball striking wise, I think it'll be fine. Field isn't intimidating and the price is reasonable. So if you're looking for someone that, you know, do I think he's going to win again on tour? I don't think it's a guarantee by any stretch, but he's proven he can do it. And I wouldn't be stunned to see him compete in some of these type of events.
I don't hate that shout out. I think that's pretty good. I mean, Glover and List have been better from a DK scoring perspective. Is this going to be the golf course where that matters as much? Par 70. I don't know. I'm having a tough time parsing through what I want to do here. Cause I don't know if I have the gumption to click on Tom Hoagie. We know he's Mr. Iron Extraordinaire from time to time, but the putter was so bad last week that I don't know what to make of it. It feels like if that thing flips, maybe you're getting him at a super low buy, but List, Glover, Svensson, I'm just having a tough time parsing through what I want to do with this range. Probably it'll just come down to like, hey, Glover's got 3.8% ownership coming in on him, and everybody wants to say all the other guys, or play all the other guys that I brought up there, and Tom Hoagie's low-owned as well, so maybe I just try to find some type of leverage there, but it's not that I'm feeling exponentially better about them than the other guys.
Yeah, again, this is a dealer's choice type range. There's so many names there, and you have so many different skill sets. Like, you've got Luke List and Killa Keith in the mid-sevens. Like, if you want to go more aggressive off the tee, even though I don't think that that's the ideal build in the sense that, like, you can't overpower this course. That's just not how it works. Matt Kuchar type game is more the ideal. And then you've got, like, you know, Ben Griffin. Andrew Putnam is here. Aaron Rye, who's a mystery. Justin Suh, who showed flashes. I don't think he's quite in the Batia bucket, but like when you look to the bottom, and Griot is here, who there was a brief window where I thought Griot was going to win last week, and I certainly would not be on the show with you if that happened. I would just be in the sewers because I did not have exposure to him in the betting markets. But what do you make of the lower sevens? To me, it's not as interesting.
It's not as interesting. Aaron Rye, I wanted to buy in on because I almost always blindly play a little bit. And then I started going through some of his Bermuda splits yesterday, and it really turned me off towards him. Around the green, 77th amongst this field, strokes gained on Bermuda grass, and 111th with the putter. You still got to roll the rock out here to some extent, and he has really struggled there. He's had flashes. I know it was a team event there in Louisiana, TPC Louisiana, and then also in Florida, he's had a couple of flashes, but God, that putting is so damn bad on Bermuda that hard for me to think that this is going to be his preferred surface. And that's where I want to bring up Andrew Putnam to you. 7,500, he's 5th strokes game putting on Bermuda. And then 28th approach feels like if we can get everything to connect a little bit, 7,500 for him feels like the main guy that I'm going to be landing on in this range. but he's also pulling 16.3% ownership now. So he's a little bit more popular than what I was hoping. But just from a skill perspective here, that's a guy that I kind of want to be clicking on this week.
Yeah, I like that too. Again, I'm not, I always think it's a fine line. You don't want to make generalizations, but I actually kind of like guys who played last week, but didn't, you know, come in third. If Andrew Putnam came in third last week, he is 30% and the mega chalk and the obvious play. He played and he played semi poorly, and I don't care. He's coming to a much better course for him. He's a noted short game guy. He's got Bermuda splits, calm conditions. I also thought that he might be a little lower owned just because of last week. He didn't make any waves. And we'll see again with the Sims and with the lineup generator and with all the tools here. We will see how that adjusts as we get going. But I'm with you. I think he makes for a great play this week and someone I think you can skill set stack. He is not going to survive off the tee at most places. If you think he survives here, like Brendan Todd and those type of players, you can form a pretty cool team around guys like that.
Yeah, and one thing that needs to, like, when you're talking about overall driving, sometimes it doesn't factor in, like, how sporadic you are. If you're a foot off into the rough or as opposed to hitting a fairway, you know, obviously he's never going to look good, like, from just a bomber perspective. So it's going to be penalizing him a little bit more for something like that. But, again, he is a short hitter who doesn't really drive it out there, but it's a 7,000-ish yard golf course where I think other skill sets matter a little bit more. He can roll the rock. The putter wasn't bad last week to any extent. So now you get on a golf course that might be a little bit more demanding tee to green, sure, but like it's exponentially shorter, which I think fits to his skill set a little bit more. As you said, skill sets stacks, some wave stacks just to blindly do it for the sake of doing it, even though I don't see a ton there. 7,500. He said, if you played well, you're definitely looking at increased ownership there. And again, I like the Bermuda splits. I like the fact that he is not 30% owned for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bottom of this range. This is where it gets, it's not to say there aren't familiar names, because there are. There's no doubt we've got Patrick Rogers, who we both identified, I think, last week in the true depths. We've got Pendrith. Norman played last week. Nick Taylor, another Canadian. Taylor Montgomery, Alex Smalley, Gary Woodland is back, which is very cool to see. But peppered around them, you got some real characters. You got Adrian Dumont de Chazar.
Even though he's German, it sounds French, but it's he's German.
He's Belgian.
He's Belgian? Oh, I
don't know. He's got
German.
He's got a Belgian flag on his name.
Oh, okay. Then
I don't know.
Then
shit
I'm gonna
about
go with
guy.
That. I'm gonna
he
go with that.
He sounds like
that's a creative player.
He sounds like a musketeer, one of those guys.
If you click on him at the site that you and I use, if you click on him, it comes up with "this sucks, something went wrong" error code, and then I believe that's who is that? That's throwing the golf club in that scenario. That is Charles Schwartzel is who that is.
Charles, my man. So we got a lot going on there. We've got Alexander Bjork, a Swede, plays over in Europe. Not super familiar here. We've got Ryo Hesitucci. Apologies if you're watching. Hit the like button, Ryo. So we just have some new names. I don't really look to buy on those guys super early here, but as we've seen from Kurt Kitayama to Higo in the past, some of these guys come ready to play. And I just want to ask you about the lower sevens kind of as a whole.
Oh, well, you missed over the most glaring example that if you've ever covered anything that I've ever done in golf, you know that Ekgoat is on the menu this week. Austin Ekroat, 23rd and 8th at the RSM. Again, I know the RSM was freaking 2 months ago, but previous decent form, Austin Ekroat showed some flashes last year of what I believe he can be. Finished 10th at the U.S. Open, 16th at the Charles Schwab, 2nd at an AT&T Byron Nelson, which, you know, was a little bit more of a shootout than this one is going to probably be, but still 18, 20 under, I guess, kind of shootout-esque. You know, Ekgoat, absolutely, I'm playing him at 7K. Going to be my big stand at the lower sevens. Shout out to Gary Woodland, just as a dude. Guy has been through a lot. That was a kid that, you know, I competed against. He played for Kansas. You know, when I was in the Big 12, he was around my age. And just awesome story for him to come back from everything that he was dealing with his brain tumor. So Gary Woodland, happy to see him back into the mix, although won't be playing him. Kind of prefer to take shots. Ben Coles, why is he pulling as much ownership? I know that he just won Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year or something, but I cannot possibly do it at this ownership.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to go to my guy, Nick Hardy, who's kind of your Ekrod. I just like Nick Hardy. I think he's a player. He did not perform great last week, but he played. And again, that is nice. He just couldn't get a
bad third round.
Yeah. And I just think he's someone that's kind of a, I'm not going to say a passion project, but I'm going to continuously buy. I'll talk about him maybe later in the show in the betting realms. It's good to see Woodland back. I'm not really doing that. That was a crazy story. I actually read about that this morning. And just other than that in this range, I don't see a ton. I mean, Taylor Montgomery can putt himself into any tournament, but he can ball strike his way out of any tournament. You know what you're getting if you go there.
Yep. Nothing else needs to be said.
Get to the cheapies. Let's get to the cheapies. But before we do, you may have seen this if you watch the NFL show. We have a cool announcement because it's the playoffs, NFL playoffs. We definitely want to make sure people still have opportunities to get these tools, these sims, things like that. And for that, we've got a promo code called DRIVE. And I'm going to tie that in a second because you might be thinking, what the hell? I guess there are drives in football. But for $99, you're going to get the NFL Sims Max through the Super Bowl. All that stuff, we all use them here. You've seen the success. But at this point, it's really undeniable. But here's the cool part. You're getting PGA Sims for 2 weeks to try out if you buy this. So you're getting both for a couple weeks. You're going to get the NFL playoffs the whole time, and you're getting 2 weeks of PGA Sims Max. What are the PGA Sims? Of course, same thing, just with golf. We've turned them in. They're awesome. I've only used them for a tournament, obviously. But the customization, all of that stuff is available. What we really wanted was we wanted to give people a chance to see the PGA Sims in action, but kind of not having to commit just yet. So if you use the NFL Sims or you're looking to get the NFL Sims for the playoffs, don't forget that you get a couple weeks of PGA Sims combined with that package. The link is below in the description. You're going to see it says quite clearly NFL Sims and PGA Sims for that price. Make sure you use that promo code DRIVE. Just want to shout out everyone who made that decision. I think it's awesome that we're getting these in the hands of people because golf to me is the most underrated DFS sport and the Sims are awesome for it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
There you go. See, I left you speechless because it's undeniable.
Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to come in there.
There's
at the
nothing
end,
to
I...
say. Sometimes
again,
there's
you
nothing
crushed.
To say.
Rushed. And also, $6,900. Bobby
excited.
Back. What are we doing here? I love this.
Yeah. Talk to me. Talk to me about Bobby Mack. I mean,
I didn't know he was in the field until just now. I missed him completely.
Yeah, you were too busy because I know what happens. Like when you see Ekrod, you're just the tunnel vision. You can't see up. You know, three or five names on both sides. Like you probably don't know that Seamus is here or Doug Gim, who I actually didn't know was here. So good for me. And Webb is here.
Webb is here.
Yep. Good for him. And
interesting range. I mean, Mav has got he's got a medical exemption. So I know Mav is here and 6,800. I like that. Lego Mahego. He was somebody that because the driver improved, we played at opportune times over the course of the summer. John Deere, ended up falling apart a little bit over the weekend. Could have really put something nice together for me there. But otherwise, I like upper sixes more than I normally do, especially now that I notice Bobby Mack is in the field.
There's definitely names down here in a field like this early season. Bobby Mack obviously has proven against a hell of a lot better than this that he can play. There's no doubt about it. I think when you get down here, I've always believed, give me a guy who can do one thing good and I'll worry about the rest. I think like Patton Kizzire emulates that a lot. You know, he's not a super well-rounded player, but he can do it. He was 10th at Valspar. He's been making cuts during swing season. He's a winner at Sony in the past. Like that's the type of name that I think you can look to. This is where though, like how low are we going? You know, you've got Jake Knapp, Ryan Moore, Johnny Vegas is down here. Hayden Buckley, kind of a name, lost his form in 2023, but early 2023 was a runner up here and he played really well. I think the mid to upper sixes is still very playable.
it's more playable this week than what I've seen. And I mean, Brandon Wu is 6,600, and that's somebody that I kind of took a look at and definitely want to be there. Alejandro Toasty, I bet, ends up being Toasty. Somebody that, what?
Yeah, Toasty, another yeah. Argentinian.
I mean, I don't understand like 0.1% on like all of these guys. Brandon Wu, I mean, this is like perfect. You talked about builds. You know, if you're talking about a small field, or if you're talking about large field where you want to pair Hatton and Fitzpatrick together, you find one of these guys that pops down here at the bottom in the doldrums. And there are a couple of them to kind of parse between. Ryan Moore, this feels like a target type golf course where he could be somebody to be viable. Maverick McNealy, again, he falls into the Gary Woodland category where, you know, we haven't seen them forever, it feels like, but we know he has a superpower. He's the best putter on planet Earth. So that's useful. Tyler Duncan, I don't completely hate Dunkin' Donuts here in this spot, but yeah, Brandon Wu, Dylan Wu, give me Wu, Brandon Wu.
Again, another guy that we've seen at times, not just like flash, he's a player. He can definitely, do that. And we're talking about last man in here. So mm-hmm. you're not going to find a lot of guys in these ranges that played last week for obvious reasons. You're going to find a lot of guys that don't have a ton of experience or just not a lot of success on tour. I don't know how low there are a couple names and names only. I'm not even saying that these are plays per se, but like Joel Dahman is a name. Grayson is a name. Obviously I recognize Lanto is a name. Norman Jeong is in this tournament. I think that's an interesting one to bank. CT Pan, Molnati, Kisner is at the bottom. Like guys who have had no form. And I don't know if I need to, because unless you're paying up for two north of 10, how low do we need to go?
Well, you could get down there. I mean, you brought up Jean is in the field. He ended up Monday qualifying, so yeah. Good for him. I don't have a crazy problem with going to like 63, 62. Like Pierce's and Cootie could end up being a player once upon a time, like, or not once upon a time, but like in the future he could be. His brother, Parker, both of them in the field. That's going to be a fun storyline. I believe it's like the cover page of PGA Tour after he Monday qualified from yesterday, but I'm okay with like Joseph Bramlett at 6,400. Harry Hall, 6,400. I'm okay with. Like, these are guys to just sprinkle. If you're playing 150 this week, what an awesome opportunity to be able to just really flip some builds by finding a couple of these guys to just sprinkle in. You don't have to like jam anybody down here. I think it would kind of be foolish to jam any one person. There's 6Ks for a reason, but like somebody's going to be popping from this range and like, just to have the ability to not couple up with everybody gravitating towards, you know, as much as I like 7,500 Andrew Putnam, people are clicking on him quite a bit. But specifically, I look at the 8K range. You and I, lower eights, kind of want to try to find ways away from that. Upper sevens, get away from it outside of maybe Kuchar. I am very about getting to some of these guys and mixing them in, because there's some talent here that just doesn't exist on other, full field golf events. It's early in the year. You don't know what's going to happen with some of these top guys. Yep. And there's going to be some dudes who miss the cut as well in the 9K range. You know, it's going to be something that burns somebody here and there. Why not mix a couple of these guys in large field?
I totally agree. I think that, you know, it's like any sport. I mean, even take something like the NFL, how many guys started at the min and now they're 6K player, 7K,
you know,
Yeah. Hogan Nakua, Trey McBride, like other players, there are golfers in this field that are ready to go in the 6K range. They'll never be 6K again. There are golfers in the 8K range and 9K range that are going to have shitty years, and they're not going to be these prices anymore. It's not easy to decipher, but what we're saying, or at least I'm saying, is embrace some of that unknown. We don't know where everybody's been. We don't know what form is. I think it's very difficult to really hone in down here, but the options to spray and pray in the low sixes is fine up to a point. I think Chez is another name you could look to. If hard resets, guys that lost their form late in 2023 that didn't play during swing season, maybe they've worked on the game and enhanced it. So for me, that's kind of where I'm going to kind of wrap it up. But I do want to wrap up the show with some hot takes, caliente. Do you have any hot takes for us here? I want to talk about the betting market as well.
Yeah, I have one. Let me see what the current number is on him. Go ahead. You go first, young man, because, again, I have to look at Bobby Mack numbers now too. Again, it's always good when he shows up in the field now.
I'm going to give you, let's see. I'm going to scroll. I'm going to give you a guy right here. Tony Open, potential, not a dark horse winner, but a guy that I've really got my eye on in the betting market is Adam Svensson. He's 45 to 50 to one out there. You can find that across the markets. Played last week. I really believe that this is the type of guy on this type of course that can really benefit. He's got the skills. He's won on tour before, and his century was middle of the pack. I'm actually pretty encouraged. So if you want someone in the outright market for Sony, a quick little betting hit here, you can find more of that on Oddshopper. Give me Adam Svensson for the Sony Open.
I don't hate that whatsoever. My guy. So I purposely, one of my favorite things about doing the hot take segment is I try not to bring up the guy that I think I'm going to have as my hot take before you ramp in. But I don't even know how I feel about him as a DFS play. But there's just something that tells me that when you see somebody who's competitive on the PGA Tour, when you see somebody who's coming off of a down year, and you know that the talent is there, and you know that eventually they're just going to go completely scorched earth. And we saw a little bit of form from him, obviously a W at the Wyndham as well. Could it be on his preferred surface? He's a Florida guy, but he's also a Bermuda guy. Billy Horschel to top 10 right now is plus 800, plus 900 if you have Bet Rivers. That feels a little bit insane to me considering his Bermuda history. Obviously had a win at the tail end of last season, which again came kind of out of nowhere because he had been in horrendous form, talked about how he had been to the absolute depths with his golf game, you know, had the breakdown on the presser. I think this is a week, again, I don't know necessarily at 7,400 where the ownership is going to end up landing here. I mean, he's 5%. I suppose I could get a little bit considering I like this bet so much, but 8-1 on Billy Horschel to top 10. I have to take that on Bermuda in this kind of a field.
Interesting name. A guy that, again, I think most people, or maybe I'm guilty of it, are just like kind of glossing over. He's in a crowded range and one that we haven't seen a lot. So Billy Ho on the potential betting card today. Last thing for me, I know we've said a couple of times, Oddshopper, if you want more of this stuff, you want to talk about the betting picks, you know where to find us. We're in that Discord. It's part of Oddshopper Premium. Head there. Be part of it. The community is exploding. 115,000 subscribers on that YouTube.
Unreal.
In no small feat, because this guy who I'd been lucky enough to do this show with. So we are going to keep it rolling. We're going to have some fun with it, but we're going to bounce on out of here. If you have any questions, at all, at JazzRazDFS, at Eric Lindquist, and Jordan Klein behind the glass, who's been with me all morning, knocking out shows, sending me Ecuadorian Civil War tweets. Don't think I didn't see that in my DMs, my friend. You got all sorts of things. I know. I don't know. I haven't opened it yet. He's got me getting me interesting news articles during the show, and that's why we love it. But friends, thanks again. Make sure to take advantage of all those offers out there. We want you guys to get the best here at Stochastic. We hope that there's some big-time screenshots with The Sims this week. Let us know and come back next week. The season's just getting started here. It's going to be a good one. For me, Mr. Lindquist, and for Jordan behind the glass, good luck and joy. See you next week.